Now, it's good to be here. And y'all, by the way, just anytime you want to get a refill or more food, just go right to the table, go get coffee, no problem. But as the theme of the conference, you know, of course, is on joy in various aspects of our Christian walk, I just wanted to kind of focus on an aspect of joy that is a perspective that how God can use and direct his vessels on earth, that's old earthen vessels, to have the privilege of being used by him to draw somebody to his son, Jesus Christ, to allow that, you know, glorious gospel of Christ to be enlightened to someone. So for myself, there's just no greater joy than doing that, you know, to speak to somebody that might not know about might not have heard about the Bible. That happens frequently, and just encourage them to seek God's word in their own life. So I have a few passages of scripture I want to share with you about God's plan for us to participate in this. And then at the end, I've got just a couple of suggestions on how to get a conversation launched and started talking about the gospel. And so anyway, we've heard from several speakers about John, about David and his confession about Bathsheba, writing Psalm 51. And I wanted to read a little bit about Psalm 51:2, verses 7 through 13, kind of relates to this a little bit. It says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." This is verse 7. "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." But catch this in verse 12 and 13. "Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you." So those last two verses, they infer that through the joy of experiencing our own salvation, that with a clean and renewed heart, and especially, you know, just directed by the Holy Spirit, that our witnessing to others, transgressors or sinners, should be a result or an outflowing of that joy, right? And others will be drawn to God's Son as they hear the gospel, and as the Heavenly Father, of course, wills. And also, God can use the evidence of joy in our life to attract somebody to say, "Hey, what's that hope that's within you? What's different about you?" You know, and you all may have experienced that. That's always a joy to be able to have that conversation. So here's a case when Jesus sent 70 new believers out to spread the word into towns before he arrived. In Luke 10, verses 1 and 2, it says, "After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he was about to go. Then he said to them, 'The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.' Then the 70, so after they had gone and they were returning, in verse 17, he says, 'Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.'" And they're all excited about that, sharing their faith in those towns. And 1 Peter 3:15, Peter exhorts his fellow believers, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give an answer to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear," or gentleness and respect, "having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed." In other words, if you're walking in Christ, there's not going to be that much to complain about, right? You know, clear conscience. But being ready to give an answer. So I just want to ask you, do you have a tactful outline or method in which you like to share your faith, or be ready on the tip of your tongue to speak to someone about the gospel as the Holy Spirit guides you? Another verse in 2 Corinthians 4:3-4 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of those that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God and in the face of Jesus Christ. So that verse 6, it describes how God uses us to share the light of the glorious gospel with those who's, you know, blinders about maybe been on their eyes. They've been blinded from the God of this world. But verse 7, of course, says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. So obviously God can, and he does, use his faithful ones to unveil those spiritually blinded eyes of an unbeliever to see the light of the glorious gospel. And again, as 7 says, though, it's of God, the powers of God, not of us. And then John, probably familiar with John 6:44, Jesus is talking. He says, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. So it's not necessarily the words we say, but it's the Father drawing him to his Son. But he uses us as instruments. So Matthew 28, you're familiar with this one. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the end of the earth. So our Judea and Samaria, well, maybe Austin, Kerrville, you know, North Carolina, the end of the earth, maybe North Carolina. Yeah. Now I know I might be preaching to the choir here about the necessity of proclaiming the gospel as the Holy Spirit directs us, but I just wanted to encourage us to have a plan, have at least an outline in your mind to be ready to give an answer, ready to share. So, of course, we depend on the Holy Spirit to guide us in each situation as to what to say, but it's helpful to have an outline of the gospel in your mind and with scriptures memorized. Amen. You got to memorize those scriptures to be able to, in the Lord, I think John 14:26 is the Comforter who is the Holy Ghost whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. So, you know, hide that word in your heart, and he can bring it to your mind as you're sharing. There's an elderly man in our church. He's like 92 just this last week. And he's an observing young man, and he says, you know, I think that young men need a little chutzpah in their life, and maybe they'll get out there and share or whatever, you know. A little shy, you know, some people are. So he says, but perhaps maybe, oh, by the way, chutzpah, if you never heard of that, it's an old Hebrew word. And it means, and the Jewish community used it a lot. It means the courage or mettle that an individual has, or having the quality of audacity. In other words, the ability to meet a challenge or persevere under demanding circumstances, or determination or resolve. So it'd be good to have a little chutzpah, you know, among us, right? Yeah. And but anyway, somebody might be just timid or not confident to speak to someone about the gospel, just simply because they don't have an outline of, you know, and they're not ready to give an answer. So that makes them a little shy when the Holy Spirit might be prompting them to say something to another person. You know, they might just, golly, I don't know what to say. Have you ever had those moments, you know, you've had an encounter with somebody and they've already left, and then you say, oh, I wish I'd have said this. You know, you have a thought afterwards, but it's too late. At that point, you might not have that encounter. So remember what 2 Timothy 1, 7, and 8 says. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of a sound mind and self-discipline. So in verse 8 says, so never be ashamed to tell others about the Lord. So as an old gray-haired man, I see a few gray hairs around here. This passage following here has encouraged me lately. I want to share it with you. Psalm 71, verses 14 through 18. Chuck, write this down. You're going to like this. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of your righteousness and your salvation all day, for I do not know their limits. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of your righteousness, of yours only. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I declare your wondrous works. And verse 18 says, now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, do not forsake me until I declare your strength to this generation, your power to everyone who is to come. So this passage encouraged me to press on, you know, on to declare the glorious gospel of Christ to others and to try to declare God's strength to this younger generation, to our current generation. So if you don't feel, you know, confident and ready to share the gospel with someone, I'd suggest you do five things. Number one is pray that God will enlighten you. We kind of heard about this a little bit already over the weekend, that what he has done, what he has accomplished through his son for you, so that you will love God more and you will want to share that good news to others. And as we abide in Christ, you're familiar with John 15, Jesus said to his disciples, I am the vine, you the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him bears forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. You know, take a pear tree, for instance. You know, you got this big pear tree, the trunk, and have you ever seen a pear tree, you know, grow a pear? I mean, does its branches kind of just strain the pear? I'm going to bear a pear. I'm going to make a pear today. No, the branches aren't, you know, struggling to make a pear. They're abiding in the vine. They're abiding in that trunk. So, you know, trees, as they abide in the vine, they're fruitful, right? So when we abide in Christ, the fruit will come. Verse 17 says, these things I command you, that ye love one another. And so that brings me to the second point, that pray that, that God will provide a new love for people. Because without love, you're not going to want to share the good news with them. And if you don't have love and you're trying to share, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 says you're going to sound like a clanging cymbal or remember that gong show? No, that's way too long ago before you got young guys. Remember the gong show? That's what it'll sound like if you don't have love when you're presenting the gospel to someone. Number three, pray for guidance as you develop a method or outline for sharing the gospel. And have a transitional sentence you can use effectively to bring a conversation to the gospel as the Lord leads. And four, practice your outline. You know, with family members or friends, take turns playing the heathen and you know, just talk, share the gospel. Yeah, that'll be fun. And you need to hone it down, practice it and hone your skills there. Number five, if you feel nervous, you know, about talking to strangers, just start talking to people at the grocery line. You know, hey, you know, I see you like such and such, you know, whatever, or the weather or whatever. Just start talking to people. Just have a little short conversations, and you'll start getting a little bit more comfortable to talk to somebody. That's just kind of if you're not too comfortable in that. So earlier I mentioned I have a tool. I just use an icebreaker to get a conversation going. You think, you know, you walk up to somebody, how do you get a conversation going? Well, especially if they're, say, you're at a store. I was at a Lowe's the other day, and guys helped me with a plumbing part. My family's in-laws are in Victoria, so it was in a Lowe's in Victoria, and this guy helped me, and I turned around and said, well, you know what? Like, Chuck is the guy at Lowe's. I said, man, I appreciate you helping me with that plumbing part. You deserve $1 million tip today. Have you ever seen $1 million bill?
Yeah, I can't read
past your own here. Yeah,
but $1 million bill. You
really, yeah, but it's got a
$1 million question on the back, Chuck.
Yeah, but I know his name, you know. Mm. And so, yeah, Chuck, if you were heading back home tonight, you got hit by a Mack truck or 18-wheeler. What would happen to you if you stepped into eternity? You could step into eternity at any moment. Mm. Yeah, you ever give that much thought?
I haven't given it much.
Yeah. So then you kind of go. So we'll go into the presentation of the gospel. But that's an icebreaker. You can set up a little bit of setup there. No, anyway. So whatever means you use, you need to break through that conversation to get to the gospel, right? So this is just one thing I use. It has a brief explanation of the gospel on the back. You got the bad news and the good news. But obviously, you can't get the whole gospel in there, right? So you want to, I hesitate just handing this to someone and walking away. But it's good to get the icebreaker for the conversation to get get started. And now another icebreaker. I was just on the phone with a QuickBooks support person, being a bean counter. I was doing my accounting and I needed some help. So this guy really sincerely helped me to resolve a problem. And then he was talking about privacy and security, you know, on QuickBooks. Somebody has to quote, you know, probably. And I said, hey, speaking of security, have you thought much about your eternal security? Just out of the blue, you know? And so he said, well, no, I hadn't thought about that. Well, you could step into eternity at any moment, you know, if you're going home tonight. And so we had a good conversation. And I said, do you have a Bible at home? Told him a little bit about the gospel, gave him some verses. And he said, yeah, I have a Bible. And I said, well, the book of John is a good place to start in learning about why God sent his son to remedy that problem of separation and from God. And he said, yeah, I have a Bible. I've heard of that. In fact, I'm supposed to read John. And so I encouraged him to read it. He says, well, okay, I'll read it tonight. So he promised to read it tonight. So I gave him a cell phone. You know, sometimes you don't hear from the guys, but at least, you know, you get the seed out there and get them to read the word. And by the way, so these days, you know, like I said, the tracks are pretty brief. So recently, my system's evolving too, my methods. But I recently ran across this from Paul Washer. It is from heartcrymissionary.com. And it's called The Gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's a trifold brochure kind of a thing. And it's really got a lot of good verses. And I've got a lot of these available for you guys as you leave. In the back there, we'll put them on the food table. But they have the headings like the character of God, with verses on that, the depravity and condemnation of man, the great dilemma, and then God's action, what he did, bringing his son and all, the man's response, and especially like, you know, if they come to the point of putting their faith and trust in Christ, then the biblical Bible verses on assurance, because in 1 John, you know, book of John kind of tells you how to become a believer. 1 John tells you, lets you know if you're a believer. If you go through all of 1 John and you see at the end that these things, John says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. But he wrote the whole book of 1 John, right, so that you can have assurance. If these things are evident in your life, you're walking in the light, confession of sin, obedience, love for Christians, and so on, loving your brother. So this is a very good resource, I think. So, by the way, if you need a list of verses to memorize for presenting the gospel, this is a good one. You can just begin working on these verses. I'm gonna use that and put my contact information on it. Like, there's a little area right here. I'm going to have a little sticker and put a email that we've used on another track in the past, but you can kind of track an email if they have questions. It's good to be able to, you know, give them some way of follow-up, and you can get back to them. And also, you know, a website for, say, somebody like Paul Washer that, you know, has a good, thorough gospel presentation. Give them a link on that. But anyway, there's just some ideas of how to get a conversation going and provide them some material, kind of give that as you walk away or whatever. Or put your cell phone on there if you feel comfortable with that. So in closing, whatever method or outline you use in proclaiming the gospel, just we need to use scripture. And preferably memorize on the tip of your tongue to, one, exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, not ourselves. And two, to confront sinners with their guilt, like Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the danger of God's judgment, Hebrews 9:27, for it is appointed a man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And then offer God's grace through Christ to those who are willing to repent of their sins. And so remember the power of the scripture, though. That's the key, because that's at work while we're sharing the gospel. Hebrews 4:12. You know, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And then Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I like this Isaiah 55:10-11. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, then returns not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it to bring forth and bud, so that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it'll prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So somebody, just using the word in your presentation and whatever means that you have there, I would encourage you to do that. And then, by the way, as far as different methods of an icebreaker, I was talking to old Russell here. He's got some unique unique one or two. You got one you want to share, maybe?
17 pages.
Yeah, 17 pages. I said, he likes to talk, so I don't know.
Believe it or not, I used to be real shy. If you don't live very long, I'm not now. Walking through a store and somebody's down underneath stocking or trying to get something off the shelf, just about every time. That's an easy one. Hey, pray for me while you're down there. And that's hard to believe. So either encouraging a brother or finding out that somebody just really had any problems.
Yeah.
Okay, another one. So sometimes I've offered, hey, you guys need a Gatorade or something? Because somebody's going to say, what? I'm good. What verse comes to mind? The best verse to tell them will remind us that we all sinners. Long shot.
Yeah.
So, I've said, I'm good. The Bible says, none are good. All short of the Lord God.
Yeah. Maybe share God's standard of what's good. Ten Commandments at that point.
Christ took the punishment for us.
Yeah.
Share the gospel. It just goes quickly.
Yeah.
I call that a canned thing. It's okay. Memorize it. Yes. Because if you don't have the gift of gab like some, you need to know what you're going to catch and practice it. Like
yeah.
It said. But if you're shot, if you don't really... it's hard for me to do that. It's not easy. I don't always obey. Obey. Look for it.
Yeah.
And obey. Look for it. God will give you the opportunity.
Yeah, Chuck, what's that word you used? Be determined.
To be what did I say you were earlier?
It was make a plan,
Yeah.
It was a good word. I wish we'd written it down. Be start with a D. Anyway. Be determined, or I have a plan to share and be ready always. Again, like 1 Peter 3:15 says,
deliberate.
That's it. Be deliberate in your plan. Be looking, and God can use your life to draw somebody to the Lord, to His Son. So I'll be around for some more questions, but may the Lord just lead and guide you into those opportunities to share your faith and the glorious gospel of Christ. As the Holy Spirit directs us, of course, the power of the scripture that God won't return void. And in doing so, I think you'll find a deep sense of joy in your life. It'll be a source of joy. So let's take a moment to pray. Okay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for providing the perfect means of reconciliation with you through the sacrifice of your holy and only Son, Jesus Christ. And we are grateful for the Holy Spirit that you provided as our helper, who is able to bring scripture to our memory and as needed, and then provide strength and boldness to share your glorious gospel to others. Even in our weakness, Lord, I pray you strength would be made strong in that area, Lord. And I pray that the joy of our own salvation and our love for you will drive and motivate us to want to have that desire to share the wondrous message to others about the gospel of your Son, Father, that your provision and redemption to us, Father. And Father, now we just ask for your grace and blessing be upon the remainder of this conference and with each one of these gentlemen today. And may your name be glorified in the rest of the weekend and in our lives as we leave from here. Lord, help us to be aware of those opportunities that you're putting right in front of us, Lord, to use us as vessels to bring more into your kingdom according to your will. And in Jesus' name I pray these things. Amen.